Good morning and good afternoon to you. I appreciate you joining us today. And I hope you have your Bible, your pen, your notepad, and ready to take good notes for your follow-up studying of God's Word. Again, today we are going to continue in our discussion of Christian character traits that we should have if we're going to be Christian people. And these are the traits we want to teach our children. But we're not looking today to point our finger at others and judge their fruit. We're looking today to look within ourselves and consider our fruit. We're looking today to consider character traits that should be growing and developing in us as we choose to walk the Christian walk, as we choose to live with Christ in us. We want you to know that just doing certain behaviors and acting certain ways on your external character, such as, you know, being obedient to the scripture, being obedient to what thus saith the Lord, without a new heart is nothing really but works righteousness and legalism. And what we want is a new heart. Oh, create in me a new heart, dear Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for bringing us together to study your word. I ask that you let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable to you, O Lord. I ask that you go before your word and prepare the hearts and minds that will receive your word so that much fruit comes of it. Because you have said your word, when it goes out, will not return void. So, Lord, I ask that you not let your word fall on deaf ears, but give the people ears to hear so that your word might grow and resonate in them and from them and through them so that people might be able to tell that we are Christians because of the way we treat and talk one to another. Father, we ask that your anointing fall on this time spent together in your word. And let us come out of this lesson as better people than when we have gone in. So grow us, Lord, change us, renew us, and wash us with your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All righty, I am so glad to be able to bring part three, what the Bible says about Christian characteristics. Now, we're working our way through these, and I am going to share other lessons every other Sunday until we get through part six, because I don't want to just go, you know, and get monotonous and boring. And so next week, we are going to look at the armor of God. And we're going to study how we might apply that armor of God to ourselves and each day, so that we might go out and fight the good fight of faith, so that we might go out and be victorious in our Christian walk. Because we are in a battle. And if you're going to be in a battle, you need to have your armor on so that you can be safe out there in the battle. So that's next week. So I'm hoping you'll get talking that up and get excited about coming back next week. But this week, here we are with part three. And what I want you to do, turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 5. Verses 16 and 19. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 and 19. Now remember, you're writing down these verses so that you can go back and you can read them in context and make sure that I am not using them out of context, and let the Lord speak to you through His Word. Now, I am the type of Bible teacher, preacher, that I do not just read a verse and close my Bible and then tell you about what I want to tell you about. I'm the kind that we get into the Bible and we discuss what the Bible says about a thing. Because we need to know what the Bible says so that we can govern our life based on biblical principles. All right, so 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, I hope you're there. And it reads like this: rejoice evermore. Verse 19, quench not the spirit. So we have rejoice evermore, quench not the spirit. And our characteristic that we will discuss today, and we will start with, is going to be enthusiasm. Enthusiasm versus apathy. The Christian should possess an enthusiasm, which is expressing with my soul the joy of my spirit. The joy of the Lord is my strength, versus apathy. Take it or leave it. Come see, come saw. You know, whatever happens. No, we want enthusiasm. We want to show an excitement and a joy on doing a certain task, a certain thing. We want not to be weary in well-doing. Basically, what the scripture tells us, we want to show a sense of self-motivation to the thing that God would have us to do. We don't want to act like we could take it or leave it. We don't want to be the kind of person, the kind of people that would be middle of the roaders. We want it to be evident that we are on God's side on the side of the right, doing right, and walking in righteousness with joy, with enthusiasm, and not that fake smile on your face, but real joy, which comes from the soul. You know that I got joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Remember the little song we used to sing? Well, let that joy and that enthusiasm show on your face. So many times it's like, oh, I gotta go do this thing or I gotta go do that thing. And we're just little sad sacks when it comes to doing the work of God and operating in godliness. So we want to demonstrate godly character. We want to do it with enthusiasm, not like it's a chore. We want to be the kind of person, like whistle while you work kind of person, trying to get some excitement out of you today, trying to get some excitement out of you this afternoon, this morning, whatever time it is that you are listening. All right, so that's enthusiasm. Now, for our next one, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to be at verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Our next character trait is faith versus presumption. Faith versus presumption. The Christian is going to act by faith. The Christian is going to walk by faith. We're not going to presume. We're not going to make presumptions on God, but we're going to have faith in His word. We're going to have faith that He will do what He said He would do. We're going to have faith that He is who He says He is, and we're going to have faith that we are who He says we are. And we're going to have faith that we can do what He tells us to do. Visualizing what God intends to do in a given situation and acting in harmony with it. So many times we as Christians will read the Bible, we'll hear a sermon, we'll get a Bible lesson, we'll be taught something from a friend or family member, and we'll know it to be God and God's word, but we'll meet it with a yeah, but. And one of the biggest yeah, buts we use and we'll hear is, yeah, but God knows my heart. Yeah, but God knows that I want this thing over here. Yeah, but God wouldn't want me to be unhappy. See, we're making presumptions on God when we know better. And what we should do is have faith in God's word about a thing. Even when we can't see how God would say such a thing, how God would have us do such a thing, we have to have faith. When Abraham got the word from God that he was to take his son of promise, his only son, of promise and sacrifice them to the Lord. See, that did not add up with what Abraham had in his mind. That did not add up with Abraham's view of God. He could not understand how God would have him to do such a thing, because from all he knew, that kind of thing was totally against God. But Abraham, by faith, acted on what God told him to do, because he knew God, he knew the voice of God, and he knew what God was telling him. And so he moved out and went a place that he didn't know where he was going, and he did it by faith. See, we got to have faith so that we can walk in the Christian life that God calls us to walk in, because otherwise we are going to walk in the flesh, which is not of God, and we're going to be presuming on the grace of God, which is not in faith. Now, God gives us grace so that we can act in faith, not grace so that we can walk any kind of way we want to walk and then be forgiven. We have got to tighten up and stop living out this sloppy agape. Yes, God loves us. Yes, God will forgive us, but God wants to be glorified in our actions. God wants to be glorified in our decisions. God wants to be glorified in the words that come out of our mouth. So we want to live by faith. We want to live in faith, and we want to show the characteristics of faith. And when we walk like this, when we live like this, people will know that there must be something in us that they want, because regular people don't do the things that godly people do. Godly people walk in a way that's higher to the ways of this world. Godly people will have people of this world trying to figure out what is going on the inside of them, that they can walk and take the high road all the time. If people haven't asked you lately, how can you do that? Or how can you let this person get away with that? If people aren't asking you how you walking your walk and talking your talk, then maybe you need to take a look at yourself and ask yourself, are you walking by faith or are you walking by sight? Okay, now this next one, I need you to turn to Colossians 3, verse 2. And that reads, set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. So this character trait is going to be on flexibility. Flexibility versus resistance. Flexibility versus resistance. Now, I'm not trying to step on toes, but I'm just opening the word and we're giving you what the word says. If that means you got to change, well, so be it. You need to change, because you don't want to be living a life to where you're happy and you're happy as you walk away from the purpose of God in your life. You want to be living the kind of life to where if you're walking away from the purposes of God in your life, that you feel it, that it bothers you. You don't want to be happy-go-lucky as you walking away from God. You don't want to be happy and comfortable as you are walking out from under the grace of God. You don't want that kind of thing. So you want to have the flexibility when living your life to change your course of action to suit God's word. You want to be acting in harmony with God's word. So you want to set your affection on things above, on godly things. Remember, his ways are not our ways. We need to take the high road. We need to look above our situation and our circumstance. I've said it, and I say it again. If you're going the same way and on the same road as the majority of the other folks, then you need to check yourself and to see if you're on the right road. Because so many times God does not call us to just be one of the crowd. God calls us and gives us marching orders to march our own march. And we have to be flexible with our plans so that we are able to change and let it line up with God's plan. You don't want to follow the plans of man and leave the plans of God voided out. You don't want to resist God because you're following man. You don't want to resist God and resist the Christian way because you're following a manly set of rules, a manly way. You want to resist the manly way, and you want to show your flexibility with your purposes and your opinions and your drive and ambition, and be flexible to changing your course, maybe the whole course of your life, for the purposes of God. Sometimes, oftentimes, God will call his people apart, set apart. So again, if you're going with the crowd, just because the crowd says this is the way you should go, you might want to check yourself. Check if the crowd is lining up to the Bible. Check if this group, if their actions, if their platform, if you will, lines up with the Bible. Nowadays, when you follow the Bible and you follow godly purposes, people will call you names. People will call you prejudice. People will call you a bigot. People will call you a misogynist. People will call you a homophobe. Yes, I said it. People will call you a homophobe just because you're following the Bible. People will call you someone who judges other people. Well, the Bible says that you need to judge something by the fruit it produces. Now, if people are going to put you down and make you feel like you're less than and like your position is not acceptable, but your position is the position of the Bible, then you need to be flexible enough to say, wait a minute, I could follow man or I could follow God. And in having to choose God. You see what I'm saying here? You see how that works? When your Bible tells you a specific thing and man tries to build a case for the opposite, you better read your Bible. You better follow the Spirit of God. When you know God, you know his characteristics, then you know how to act and react, because man will come and tempt you with comfort. Man will come and tempt you with the ideologies of this world that are not the ideology of God. Man will tempt you with things that sound godly, but they don't possess the power of God. So you got to watch when man tries to say biblical stuff and they misquote the Bible. That's why it's so important that we get into God's word for ourselves, that we read for ourselves, that we understand, that we bounce it off of other Christian people and other Christian teachers that can tell us if we are going astray. They can tell us if we have sound doctrine. Because, see, man does not interpret the Bible. The Bible interprets the Bible. The Spirit of God himself will teach you and lead you into all truth. And the truth that you know will set you free. If you don't know God's word, then you fall prey to people who will try to get you to go in a way that is not consistent with God's word. I want you to hear me on that. Some people are so entrenched in their own ideas, their own way of thinking, their own doctrine, that when they read the Bible, they read their doctrine into what the Bible says. This is how so much error is given and is lived out in this world today. This is how so much error gets in the church, because people read one little piece of the Bible and they try to make doctrines off of one little piece instead of taking the Bible in context, understanding the nature of the Bible and the God of the Bible, and they start making their own little things up. They sound good, and they might be able to preach real well, and they might be very convincing. And the people who follow them might follow them with sincerity. But you can be sincere and sincerely wrong. Folks, if your attitude, if your ideology, if your platform, if your social policy does not line up with the word of God, you need to have the flexibility to change and to go with God. You hear me? This is God trying to talk into your life to get you back on the right track. Because some of us have gotten on a different track. Some of us are afraid to be labeled with negative labels because we know the truth. We know what God has for us, but we go a different way. God will bless you if you stand with godliness. All right. Turn now in your Bible to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 32. I think all our verses today are coming from the New Testament. Ephesians 4, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Our next character trait is forgiveness versus rejection. Forgiveness versus rejection. Now, we want to be able to be the kind of person that can clear the record of those who have wronged us and allowing God to love them through us. We want to share God's love with mankind, womankind, rather than reject these people, rather than cast them out. Now, this is not some kind of sloppy agape to where we just say, well, we'll just accept you just how you are. No, we're talking about forgiveness where we've been hurt, where we've been wronged, and setting people straight and back on the path to godliness. We're not talking about turning a blind eye and a deaf ear to sin. God doesn't, and he doesn't ask us to. But when people are repentant, when people are trying to reconcile, we need to show forgiveness rather than rejection. Yes, again, this is about being flexible now. What kind of character are you showing when you hold grudges? Remember, love does not hold grudge. You got the love of God in you, then you can't hold a grudge. Now, you call sin sin, and you don't walk with sinners, because how can two go together unless they agree? And unless you go in the same direction. But forgiveness is a way of heart. So many of us are so hurt from things of our past, and we're holding on to it, and we don't forgive, and it's making us bitter, which is stealing our joy, and we can't do the work of Christ because we have bitterness in our heart. Some of us are so bitter and so hurt that we reject a whole class of people, a whole nationality of people, a whole ethnic group of people, because of things from way in the past. And some of those things from way in the past still go on to this day. So it's hard to forgive from things of the past. So we have to ask God to forgive through us so that we can live and live this abundant life without the weight holding us down of bitterness, of evilness, of wanting to get revenge and things like this. So many of us, we are so negative against certain people who have wronged us, that our words, our deeds, our actions, our thoughts are in no way consistent with the love of God. People cannot tell that we are Christians when they see how we respond and act to people who have hurt us. We have to be above that. We have to be godly. You got to have enough of the Spirit of God living in you. And see, this is a daily walk. This is a daily thing. We have to pray, Lord, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. If it was easy, everybody would do it. Sometimes we have to let God build himself up in us. We have to renew our minds. We can't watch all this worldly stuff and then try to come out and act godly. We got to fill our minds and our hearts with godly things, with things from above. And then we can be kind one to another. Kindness is a godly trait. Tender-hearted, not hardened-hearted. Now, I'm talking to some people right now. Yet not me, but God speaking through me to some people who have gotten your heart hardened because of things that have wronged you. And I'm not saying dismiss the wrong. I'm saying forgive the wrong. Forgive it. Even as God forgave you. And I'm not saying to say what they did wasn't wrong. I'm not saying to look the other direction from sin and wrongness. I'm not saying that. Call what's wrong, wrong, but don't let bitterness and rejection fill your heart up. Don't be apathetic to the plight of people who, in your mind, in your heart, are wrong. A lot of times, you know, when bad things happen to bad people, we don't have empathy with those people because we kind of feel like, well, they got what they deserve. Well, that's not godly. We've got to be better than that. Because our God is better than that. And sometimes it takes God operating in our heart to help us get to the place where we can have a godly reaction to ungodly people. We putting a check on ourselves right now? That's good. God wants to change us. God wants to grow us. God wants us to get back into that image that he created us in. A lot of us, we don't look much like God these days. But he created us in his image. We call ourselves Christians, which is to say little Christ. We need to look like him. We need to act like him. We need to respond like he does. All right, next word is going to be generosity versus stinginess. Turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Our character trait is generosity. Generosity. And we are going to say generosity versus stinginess. Generosity versus stinginess. Realizing that all I have belongs to God and using it for his purposes. Realizing that all I have belongs to God and using it for his purposes. Now, people say God is good all the time God is good, and it becomes just a rhetoric because it's like we don't really mean it because we don't live it out. We just say it. Sometimes God wants to be good to somebody else through us, but we're stingy and we don't want to share the blessing that God has given to us. Don't be stingy. That's a situation of the devil. That's against God. That's worldly. That's manly. That's of the flesh. But be generous. If all you have really belongs to God, then you should be using it for his purposes. See, that thing God blesses you with, he's not blessing you so you could be happy. He's not blessing you so you could have it. He's blessing you so that you can be a blessing and then feel the joy that comes with being a blessing. He's blessing you so that you can grow into a place that you are a giver. He doesn't bless you because you're a giver. He blesses you so you can be a giver. Now, see, that's not a message you'll hear from some people. If you woke up this morning, God has blessed you. Some people did not wake up this morning. If you have a roof over your head, God has blessed you. If you have AC in the heat, heat in the cold, God has blessed you. If you have clothes, if you have food, God has blessed you. If you are able to listen to this broadcast, to this Bible study, God has blessed you. Be a blessing to other people. And not just people who can bless you back. Hear God when he is trying to get you to open your hand and share that which he has given you. And it is true. What you sow, you shall also reap. And if you give a lot, you're showing God that he could trust you. And you will indeed get a lot because God wants to put resources in the hands of people who will spread them around to to the people that he would want them spread around for. My prayer is that you will learn how to be a generous person, how to be a giver, and that you will be able to open up your hand so that something may be taken out of your hand. That's sharing with others. And as you do that, that open hand can also receive. Share what God has given unto you, and he'll continue to give. You can't outgive God. There's so many different sayings on that. But I want you to have a heart of gentleness, a heart of generosity. Now let's look at our next term, our next verse. You'll find it in 1 Thessalonians 2. Verse 7, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. Gentleness is the character trait versus harshness. Gentleness versus harshness. Showing personal care and concern in meeting the needs of others. See, you got to be gentle in caring for others. When you see someone hungry and you have gentleness in your heart, you want to feed them. Give them of yours. Share with them what you have. Don't go looking what somebody else has to give them. You share what you have. There's a lot of people these days that want to be generous with other people's gain, but they're not so generous with their own. They want to keep what they have, but they want to give to others from what other people have. That's not godly right there. This generosity gives what you have for God's purposes. And this gentleness is a softness of the heart, seeing a need and seeing what you can do personally to meet the need. You all know the story of the Good Samaritan. The man was hurt, the man was bruised, the man was beaten, he had been jumped, left for dead. And the one that helped him was called the Good Samaritan. The man showed gentleness. The man took from his own and said, take care of this person. I'm on a trip. And when I come back, I will pay you for whatever you did to help this person. See, this is a personal thing. This comes from what you have. See, God's not asking us to give what we don't have. God is asking us to give what we do have. See, some people, they get upset when they hear a church ask for a tithe, 10%. They're upset. All they want down there at that church is your money. And they say, you know what? That's Old Testament. We don't have to do that anymore. Well, guess what? New Testament says it all belongs to God. Give it all for the purposes of God. And when you give it all for the purposes of God, God continues to take care of you. Is when you start trying to hoard stuff and you're stingy and you're afraid that you're going to have lack and you're not going to have enough, so you don't share, you're not generous, you become stingy, you become harsh, you're like, no, get your own. No, do your own. Go get a job. You know, stop freeloading. And you get harsh and you get bitter. But you want to be gentle. Why? Because God is gentle. Christ is gentle. If you have that spirit living and operating in you, you can also be gentle and show gentleness, caring, loving. All right, let's move on to our next. And let's go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 4, 7. Hold on with me. We're getting ready to be almost done. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. And I'll read it. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received? Our character trait is gratefulness versus unthankfulness. Gratefulness versus unthankfulness. Several people have given the task and the challenge to wake up every day with an attitude of gratitude. Wake up every day and be thankful for things, specific things. And at night before you go to bed, write down the things that you are grateful for, that you are thankful for in that day. And that changes your whole attitude. Now, gratefulness. Making known to God and others in what ways they have benefited your life. You know, a lot of us, we were taught to pray as kids, and God, thank you for everything. Amen. Well, we're adults now. And when you thank God, thanking specifically. You pray specifically, you ask specifically, you thank him specifically. When someone has blessed you, someone has been generous with you, thank them specifically. Let them know that you appreciate X, you know, whatever it was that they blessed you with, however they blessed you. Maybe they just made you smile. Let them know, hey, that thing that you said, that really blessed me. That touched me. Hey, I know you didn't have to bring me that nice, cool drink, but you did, and you thought about me, and I appreciate it. You know, be specific with your praise. Be specific with your appreciation. Let people know exactly what it was that you're being grateful for. This becomes a blessing to them. as opposed to just being unthankful. Some people are so bitter and they act like they have no blessings at all. They act like, you know, certain people have done nothing positive for them at all, as opposed to having a heart of gratefulness and being grateful for the good in that person. Now, sometimes you have to look hard and deep, but when somebody goes out of their way and maybe even out of their character and does a good thing for you, show appreciation and thankfulness in a timely manner so that people understand that you feel like they have been a blessing to you. Now that can go on and on and on, but I want to be able to bring us to a smooth closing for today, and we don't want to go on and on. So that's gratefulness. You want to have an attitude of gratitude. Now let's turn to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 2. Hebrews 13, verse 2. We're going to get this one and we're going to end this for this week. Hebrews 13, verse 2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Cheerfully sharing food, shelter, and spiritual refreshment with those whom God brings into your life. What we're talking about is hospitality versus loneliness. Hospitality versus loneliness. See, a lot of us are single. We live alone, empty nesters, and we struggle with loneliness, being lonely. Well, a godly character trait which can combat that is hospitality. Be one that is hospitable, one who invites people over, share a meal, share a bite, you know, spend a night, enjoy company. Somebody is out in the street, somebody's out in the cold. Share your shelter, share your space. Share some spiritual refreshment. Man, this little song here, it really blessed my heart. It blessed my spirit. You should listen to it. Maybe it'll help you and bless yours. You know, share a good word. You know, share your blessing with other people. That is a way to combat loneliness, folks. Loneliness is a state of mind. It's a state of heart. It's not good. If you find yourself feeling lonely, getting a little depressed because you're by yourself, and if there's any way you can, don't wait for somebody to invite you. You invite somebody else. You be the sunshine in somebody else's day. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. See, these aren't necessarily friends and family members. Of course, it could be charity starts at home. Invite folks in. In today's world, we are closed off. We shut people out. We reject people. We're not going to invite people in because that opens us up to being hurt. God says, be hospitable. His word says, be hospitable. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens the door and lets me in, I will come in and sup with him. Sometimes God is in the least of these. He said, if you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it also to me. If you reject the one who's down and out, if the only people who you will spend your time with are people who can help you get to the next level, you are not being a godly person. You are not acting in hospitality. You are being a user. You are not being a giver. You are being a taker, not a giver. Invite someone to dinner. You cook for them. You pick up the check now and then. You be the inviter. Don't look for someone else to take care of these people. You do it. You give what you have for the benefit of someone else. Be the God someone else might need. Well, it's a pretty tough word, pretty hard word, but it's a good word. It is all about what God wants you to do. Now, today, maybe you find yourself not doing too well with these godly characteristics, and maybe you need a change. Maybe you need to get back to that joyful, cheerful, forgiving, generous, gentle, grateful person, living by faith with enthusiasm. I'm going to pray for you, and I want you to pray as well. And open your heart up and be flexible to what God would have you to do, what God would have you to change, so that you can be a better example of God's work in you, what God can do in a fully devoted person here on earth. Maybe you have yet to accept Christ. I invite you to accept him today. Maybe you haven't professed your faith to anyone. Maybe you're a closet believer, a closet Christian. I invite you to tell someone today. Maybe the fire of your desire for the Lord has grown cold, and the worry and the weight of this world has beaten you down, and you want to renew a good spirit in you. You might want to rededicate your life to the purposes of Christ today. Now will be a good time to do that. Let me pray for you. Dear Lord, thank you for your word that's gone out, and thank you for letting it land in good soil that has been prepared and prepped by you. Lord, let there be hearers of this word, and let it change lives, bringing us from glory unto glory, and renew a right spirit in us today. Lord, bring Christians closer to you. Turn backsliders away from the road that they have been on and back towards you. Lord, we want to be a reflection of your glory. Lord, we want to be a reflection of your light. Touch us, grow us, in Jesus' name. Save lost souls. Help us to be a witness for you in this day, dear Lord. Amen. Well, I sure appreciate being with you today. I appreciate sharing God's word with you today. And hopefully, if you've been away from God, you have turned back towards God. Hopefully, if you don't know him, you'll introduce yourself to him, because he knows you. But you will learn to walk by faith. Dedicate yourself to his purposes today. Be generous to his purposes. I want you to join us again next week. As I said, we're going to step away from these Christian characteristics for a week, and we'll come back to them. But next week, we will do the armor of God. And that's going to be a good thing. Tell your friends. Get people involved. Join the Facebook group so that we can discuss these different things and grow one with another. Because that's how we do it. We do it together. You don't have to walk this road alone. If you don't have a church home, if you do not have a local church that you can attend, join us and let us be your church, and we can fellowship one with another. God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you again. Give generously if you can. Pray for this broadcast. Pray for me as I try to be sensitive to what the Lord is saying so that I can speak a good word in season and out of season. God bless you. Be good to one another. Love one another. Bye-bye.